What's up, guys? Welcome to DC and RC. I'm Daniel Cormier. That's my friend Ryan Clark. RC, what's up, baby? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up, my guy?
I'm chilling.
Hey, you look. Oh, Jacob. How was the trip this weekend? You enjoyed it?
Nice. Bro, it was short, though. Bro, because American Airlines kind of got you, boy.
I saw that. What the hell? It was hurt. Oh, you mad about the people, man.
Hey, bro, let me tell you something. Then guess what? The only way for me to get home in time was to fly American on Sunday. I get off the plane. The dude that kicked me off the first time, get off the plane with me. my world is crazy. Though it was a crazy weekend in Jacksonville. Some tremendous fights that we will talk about when we get into Tap In and Tap Out. But quick reminder, guys. Your boys are going to be at UFC X next Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific. Join DC and RC live from the UFC X Fan Expo. Dude, it's going to be so fun. To do the show in front of people, it's about to be tremendous, RC.
Hey, well, I think we're finally getting to see, man, and I'm glad that everybody get an opportunity to talk to you, see you. Just this kind of love you get when you are in UFC mixed martial arts audiences. And so I'm super excited to be a part of it, man. This will be our 2-year anniversary, right? This will be 2 years. Yep, this will be 2 years we started the show. And so I'm really excited for us to be there, bro.
RC, when we went to International Fight Week 2 years ago, it was our first show. We did it at ESPN Studios and we went to the weigh-ins and you walked in and everybody's like, hey, Ryan Clark. They were calling you Ryan Clark at the time, right? Because of the Super Bowl and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm RC now.
Nobody calls you Ryan Clark. They always
RC.
No, you made it, my guy. It was London.
Yeah.
It was London.
Yes, sir.
That was tremendous. It's going to be fun to be in front of the fans. Guys, come and join us. Find DC and RC. We'll be doing it 1 o'clock again, Pacific, at UFCX. But later on in the show, we chat with Alexander Volkanovski, who will headline that weekend live from Las Vegas. But right now, me and RC, we got to tap in.
Start it off, baby. Let's get it.
Rubber Jake, let's go.
All right, guys. This past weekend, Ilia Topuria dominated Josh Emmett. Following the win, Topuria called for a title shot next. RC, tap in or tap out, Topuria being next in line for either Volkanovski or Yair.
I tap in and out. If Alexander Volkanovski wins, then if Alexander Volkanovski wins, I think that Ilia Topuria could be the next up. We've seen Ortega. We've seen Korean Zombie. We've seen Max Holloway. Obviously, Josh Emmett is now going to fall out of the top five. But if Yair Rodriguez is able to win this fight and it's close and it's fun and it's exciting, we're not saying that Alexander Volkanovski has the right to a rematch. I mean, are we serious?
Yeah, are we
not going to let Volk get another chance? And so that is my one caveat. The kid has shown enough. Volk has run through the top five enough in the division to get him an opportunity, but only if Alexander Volkanovski retains the championship belt.
RC is getting bad. It's getting bad, RC. You are starting to turn into me. Your line straddling is getting real bad. It's getting bad, RC. Like before, you always made a choice. You always picked five people on list. You never did anything that could be considered controversial or straddling a line. Now, it's weekly. It's like I tap in and out.
Ow. They see. You have to remember, when this show first started, I really had to walk a tightrope. So people kind of liked me and accepted me in UFC. Man. I'm all in now, baby. We 2 years.
Hey, you're waffling. I'm like, geez. No, I tap in, but I also kind of tap out because of the same reason. He's like, if Volkanovski loses, he has to get a title fight because it's just right. Izzy got it and Kamaru got it because they all deserve those immediate rematch in hell. Juliana Pena was supposed to get it against Amanda. Yeah. So it's like, if you're a champion, you do get an opportunity, especially a long-range champion like Alexander Volkanovski. But if he wins, I think it's Ilia Topuria. And I think that...
Well, why, DC? Why are you so high on Ilia Topuria?
Bro, he's good. RC, he's good. I'm watching this kid from the octagon side. And I'm like, he does everything right. He's well-rounded. He got a little bit tired in the fifth round, but when he got tired, he took Josh Emmett down and held him down. So he showed his grappling in the hardest moment. But, bro, it was the striking the way that he goes when he throws, and it's always here, or if the hook is here, or if the right hand's here, it's like you can hit. It's like he's hitting pads. Like when you hit pads, generally you do things the right way. But in fights, that's why you see guys with their hands down when they're throwing overhand rights, or they're jabbing and their hands down low. It's like you do things wrong. This kid never did anything wrong. And he's got an entire country behind him. I mean, he had one of the biggest stars in the world, Sergio Ramos, come to watch him at the fight the other day. Spain is all in on Ilia Topuria. And guess what? RC, I am too. Corporate Jake.
You know what? I think when you think about his last two fights before Corporate Jake start, the way he dominated Bryce Mitchell, who was at the time a rising star, he beats him. He beats him on the feet, takes him down, submits him. I think that's huge. And for the way that we respect how Josh Emmett approaches fighting, right? That bulldog mentality, toughest man in the octagon, to totally be outclassed, but also, this is a word I love to use, since Alabama won the championship years ago, he was out physical.
Yeah.
Ilia Topuria looked like the bigger, stronger, more powerful man. And I think you have to see some of those things in order to get an opportunity at Alexander Volkanovski, and he showed those.
RC, that one of the scorecards was 50-42, bro. I think that's the first time I've ever seen 50-42 in my entire life. A judge scored a fight around 10-7. In boxing, you got to drop the guy twice to get a 10-7. He didn't even compound. He dominated him so thoroughly that they scored one round of 10-7. This kid's impressive, man. And he's as cool as the other side of the pillow. You know, little hats off.
Little Stu Scott.
Yeah. This dude is good, man. And this dude is, I think he can compete against Volkanovski. Am I saying he could beat Volkanovski? No. But I'm saying he is one of the guys that I feel can compete against Alexander Volkanovski. It's refreshing to see a guy like this come at 145. Corporate Jake.
All right, guys. The future, Macy Barber, continued her win streak with a dominant TKO victory Saturday night. Barber feels she put the entire division on notice. DC, tap in or tap out. Barber deserves a title shot at flyweight.
Ooh, that's a tough one because I like Macy, but I got to tap out. It's right now. Valentina Shevchenko should be fighting for the belt next. But, bro, it's like we forgot about Tyler Santos. What about Tyler Santos or Aaron Blanchfield? Like, all these girls have done – they're fighting each other next, Blanchfield and Santos. And whoever wins that fight should probably be the next four title fight. So I think she's going to need a little bit more work because for as good as she looked last weekend, we aren't talking about her beating one of the top five fighters in the world. And that's not to take nothing away from her. She fought against a girl that was highly ranked, a girl that's widely respected, highly regarded, and she buzzed through her and looked better than she ever has. She looked like a better version than she's ever looked, but I think there's still a little bit of work to do. So I guess that's my long-winded way of saying I tap out.
Yeah, I didn't mean, like, when you look at the list of the top 10, you obviously want some new flavor in the division, but in her last four fights, all of those fights were decisions. This is the first time we've seen Macy Barber seem or look this impressive in the octagon. The striking was great. Once she got her down to the mat, we saw her really dominate and control her, but we need to see that again, especially when you're looking at some of the top fighters in that division. Like you mentioned, Erin Blanchfield seemed like a world beater in her last fight against Jessica Andrade. She was physical. She was great at striking. She showed her chin. And she finished, right? And so to say that if she wins her next fight, she doesn't get an opportunity at the championship, I think would be wrong or dismissive of us. But Macy Barber, if she continues to show the sort of improvement we saw in the last fight against Amanda Ribas, I think she will work her way into contention.
You know what's the craziest thing about that is that there was a time at 125 that all you had to do was win a couple fights in a row, right? That's how Jessica I got her title fight against Shevchenko. That's how Lauren Murphy got her title fight. They just won a few fights in a row because Valentina had beat everybody. But with the new champion, Alexa Grasso, being atop, it kind of refreshes the division because Valentina cuts the line. And now everybody has to do a little more work to get there because Macy Barber's now won five in a row. If you had won five in a row before, you might be in contention for a championship opportunity. But because the champ, Alexa Grasso, was able to pull that major upset, it changes everything. But I truly believe the number one contender fight is Tyler Santos, who I thought deserved an immediate rematch after Singapore.
That's what, yes.
Against
yes, DC. Now, I'm about to say, we can't forget how impressive Thalia Santos' fight against Valentina Shevchenko was. She, that was where we started to see a couple of cracks in the champion's armor, and then Alexa Grasso finishes it off with the third round submission.
It's crazy. Yep. It was like we started to see mistakes. Like, dude, for so long, she made no mistakes. And then in that fight with Thalia, she made some mistakes. And then ultimately, it was that spinning kick that she tried against Alexa, a mistake, that ultimately cost her a championship.
All right, guys. The nominees for the 2023 ESPY Fighter of the Year was released last week. The list includes Amanda Nunes, Leon Edwards, John Jones, and Islam Makhachev. The award is based on the performance from July of 22 to July of 23. RC, tap in or tap out, the committee got the right four people.
You know, I think one, it goes to the star of the person. I think when you say Islam, that has to be the name to me that is the winner. He has to be a part of it because in that time, you've beaten Alexander Volkanovski and you beat Dubronx.
Yep.
And being able to beat two of the best in the world without question, it says, okay, that's a person that should be on this list. Leon Edwards beating the seemingly unbeatable Kamaru Usman two times. I think he absolutely has to be in there. And Amanda Nunes, it wasn't necessarily to me that she was the best fighter, but she had to overcome some adversity. We hadn't seen her overcome in years. And so I believe when you look at those fighters, how high the stakes was for all of those three, they should be in there. I don't believe that John Jones should be one of the fighters in that mix. I think a guy like Israel Adesanya, who loses to his arch nemesis and then finds a way to come back and win in that sort of fashion, that's one of those storylines that an ESPY is made for.
RC, I don't think I could agree with you more. And I thought I was going to say that, and people were going to say I was hating on Jones, but I just don't know if one fight in the year against Ciryl Gane puts you in that position. And that's no knock on Ciryl. Like, it was just one fight.
Yeah.
You got to think of the storylines that follows these other athletes, right? From Makhachev beating Dubronx to win the belt, from Makhachev beating Alexander Volkanovski. And I don't know if Islam fought another time earlier in 2022 to get to fall within that time. I don't know for sure. But then you look at Amanda losing her belt to Juliana and winning it back. And then Leon Edwards doing what he did. Let me tell you something. This John Jones is in there because, and who won the ESPY last year, Corporate Jake, if you could find that for me. But like, John Jones is in there because John Jones is the biggest star, right? He's the biggest star that's holding a championship right now outside of Israel Adesanya. So that's why he's in there. And what's crazy about it is he might win it because of he being the biggest star of the people in there. Oliveira won it last year. We all know what Charles Oliveira did going in 2021 to 2022. I agree that the other three should be in there. I think Jones needed one more performance to find himself in the running for an ESPY, if we're being completely fair. The storyline just does not add up. Maybe it's the time away, but hey, he ain't the only one, right? Henry Cejudo fought after 3.5 years. Yeah. So it's like, it also has been done. So yeah, I agree with that.
That's what it's about. It's about the star. And I think the only other way, the only other storyline that makes you even think about it is he moved up to heavyweight. He fought a guy like Ciryl Gane, who we at least thought was game, and it wasn't even close. It was just total domination.
He impressed in his return. We're not saying that it was not super impressive, but bro, I mean, Israel Adesanya should have been in the ESPY running again this year.
Yep.
He should be in the ESPY running last year. He should be in the ESPY running every year that he's holding on to this championship for as long as he did. And what about Aljamain Sterling? Why is Aljamain Sterling not in the running for an ESPY, considering what he did to maybe the championship?
Aljamain's the most dismissed. He's the most dismissed and disrespect champion we have in the entire UFC.
Where's Volk? Is Volk on the list?
Nope.
No, did you not hear the list?
What is going on here? So yeah, Love the ESPYs. I got one at my house. That's one of my things that I'm most proud of. But even in that, right? Like, I won the ESPY, and I mean, God, if Amanda doesn't win and she's retiring, like, she has been up for the ESPY every year. She was up for the ESPY with me, too. And she has lost it just about every year. So this is her last opportunity. But yes, guys, it should be Aljamain. It should be Islam. It should be Volkanovski. It should be Leon Edwards and Israel Adesanya. But I think Leon Edwards should win the ESPY.
Yeah, before we move on, to add two more. John Jones is nominated for Best Comeback Athlete, and Leon is nominated for Best Championship Performance.
So here's the thing. Like, I agree with that. John Jones, Best Comeback Athlete, yes. I'm all in on that. 3 years away, comes back and becomes the heavyweight champion of the world? Absolutely. Yes. Leon Edwards, Best Championship Performance? I hope it's the second one. It's not the first one.
It's the head kick.
That's not the best championship performance. That's the best moment. That's the best moment.
DC. That has to be. It's the best moment. It's the most climactic moment. It's the most pull it out of nowhere moment. Yes. It's not the best total performance. I agree.
The second fight.
It's not going to be a better performance than some of these other performances we've seen inside the octagon. Kamaru Usman, unbeatable until that head kick, DC. Unbeatable. Well, like, you just could do nothing with him.
He was losing, RC. You can't call it the best championship performance when he was losing the entire fight.
But he didn't lose. He won.
But he didn't lose.
But he won.
I thought the second fight in London that you and I watched right next to each other was about as impressive a championship performance that we have seen in a really long time.
All right, guys. Robbie Lawler fights in the UFC for the final time on July 8th. The former champion also goes into the Hall of Fame for his fight against Rory McDonald. RC, tap in or tap out, Lawler belongs in the Mount Rushmore of welterweights.
I tap in. I think it's GSP, Matt Hughes, Kamaru Usman. And I think the other guy would be Robbie Lawler. The only other person I would think to even put in the conversation is maybe Tyron Woodley, maybe, right? Because then Tyron took the belt from Robbie. Right? Yeah, and so I would think Tyron Woodley would be the only other person in the conversation. But if you think about Lawler's run at welterweight, some of the great fights he's had, the iconic Rory McDonald fight, and when we're flashing pictures of great welterweight, nobody is going to have that picture that we see of Robbie Lawler with his lips split, standing across all bloody, basically breathing blood onto Rory McDonald. And everything in the way that he's fought, I think he belongs as number four on the Mount Rushmore behind GSP, Matt Hughes, and Kamaru Usman.
Well, here's the problem. Like, there weren't many welterweight champions. Like, that. It's been a division that have had so many long-reigning champions that there aren't many welterweight champions. But I got George St. Pierre at the head, right? He's the George Washington. Then I have Matt Hughes. Then I have George St. Pierre, Matt Hughes, Kamaru Usman, and I have Tyron Woodley.
You went Tyron Woodley?
I went Tyron Woodley, RC. And I get it, right? Him and Robbie would seem to have very similar resumes. But you got to remember, when Tyron was the champion, the way he beat Robbie to become the champion, the way he beat Darren Till, the way he defended that belt on so many occasions when he was legitimately one of the harder champions to work with. So he got no favors. Tyron Woodley was actually fighting always the very best guys. And he complained about it openly, how the UFC didn't always treat him fairly. So it's like he was doing that and defending that belt in circumstances that weren't ideal. So I'm going to go Tyron Woodley. Think about all those fights he had with Wonderboy Thompson. Like, he was fighting Wonderboy when Wonderboy was, like, the biggest enigma that we had ever seen inside the octagon. So it's like, I have to put Tyron Woodley, because I love Robbie Lawler against Carlos Condit. That was a great fight, but it was very, very competitive. I love Robbie Lawler against Rory, but it was very, very competitive, right? For me, Robbie Lawler's story is the guy that came from Strikeforce, and he was a bit middle of the road, and he went to the top and became the champion. But even then, I don't know if I put him in the top four welterweights of all time.
All right, guys, two more. Robert Whittaker versus Dricus du Plessis face-off just 2 months ahead of UFC's return to Australia, where Adesanya plans to defend his middleweight title. DC, tap in or tap out, Whittaker or du Plessis will be next for the champ, even with a short turnaround.
Yeah, I tap in. That's number one contender's fight. I mean, Izzy is hoping Dricus wins because he wants the new challenger. And there's like something between them two about Dricus said Izzy's not from Africa when Dricus is from South Africa. It's a weird thing between Adesanya and du Plessis. But I do believe that's the number one contender fight because who else is he going to fight? The next guy is Jared Cannonier, looking what he did to Marvin Vettori. So I tap in. Number one contender's fight. And if Whittaker wins, he'll be able to turn around because he won't take much damage. When he's fighting well, he doesn't get hit very much.
Yeah, I tap in on that as well. And just now listening to DC describe it, though, I had no level of excitement because I believe Robert Whittaker is going to win. I believe Robert Whittaker is getting smarter in his approach to Israel Adesanya each and every time. We watch him make the adjustments from the first fight to the second. I think that this next fight will be extremely close, extremely slow.
You think Whittaker can beat Adesanya this time, being that he has seen him lose now?
I do think he can win. I don't know if he does, though, DC. When you look at the way these fights go and as intelligent of a fighter as Israel Adesanya is in the octagon, that slower pace, the grind it out, try to keep him against the cage, attempt the takedowns, I don't know if that's enough to unseat the champ when you look at what Robert Whittaker's approach was to fight number two.
You know, if you said that you didn't get much excitement, well, you ain't got to worry about it because you're going to be right in the middle of football season and we're going to Australia. So that will not be one of those trips.
In fact, I get into that building.
That keeps you busy during football season. Corporate Jake.
All right, guys, last one. UFC 290 sees two of the three UFC Mexican champions take center stage as Yair and Brandon Moreno look to retain gold. RC, tap in or tap out. After the conclusion of UFC 290, the UFC will have two or more Mexican champions.
I tap in. Now, Brandon has a rematch. Brandon has a rematch of someone who beat him, but I think Brandon Moreno is now a totally different fighter than what we saw at that time. This is a grizzled champion, and I also believe that Alexander Volkanovski will retain the title in the featherweight division.
But then that would leave him and Alexa Grasso, so they would
stay. Yeah, so it'd be two
championships. Yep.
Yep.
Well, here's the beauty in this, right? And this is why I love my job. I can't pick the fights. And if I say the answer to that question, it would seem as though I'm picking a fight. So no, RC, I don't know. I do not have an opinion on that. All I'm going to do.
You are.
I'm waffling. I'm waffling. RC, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go and sit next to that octagon. I'm going to eat beef jerky. And I'm going to watch fights until the main event, and I'm going to eat popcorn when the main event comes on. And I'm just going to be the biggest and the best fan the UFC has ever had because it's amazing. I have the greatest job in the world. And what I'm also going to watch is the next time we have Yair Rodriguez or somebody on this show, I can pull this clip of you picking against them because you tend to try to make people turn against me every single time we have people on the show.
DC, you never pick what you pick. Right? Like anytime Islam Makhachev fights, the other guy stinks, no matter who he is.
Oh my God.
Alexander Volkanovski was clearly and still is clearly one of the best fighters in the world. Yes. And when he fought Islam, you were like, he stinks. And this, you know what?
I never said that.
We're about to talk to Alexander Volkanovski, and I'm going to tell him. Please, because here we go. Here we go with one round with the champ, Alexander Volkanovski.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You guys, I'm going to tell you one thing. If there's a guy in the world that is always singing the praises of the Australian.
Whoa! Former, don't you lie. Don't you lie.
The former rugby.
DC. Oh my God. DC, bro, you should have seen your last fight, right, bro? It's Islam. We all know that's DC guy. DC's guy. I come on, I say, man, I got Volkanovski. I think he's the best in the world, pound for pound. Then you go out and beat his guy, and you're robbed. And then he runs in here. I told you, RC.
This guy,
Volk ain't got nothing for
this guy's
well.
Lying.
He can't do nothing Volk, with him.
Champ, he's lying. First off, he's lying, champ. You know, Alex, if there's anybody that gives you credit, it's me. Be honest. I said it before the fight. This will be the toughest fight for Makhachev. And I said it after the fight. Don't lie, Alex. Don't let this guy come between us.
I don't know, man. I'll just say what I say. You had my back, DJ. That's what's going on.
Every single time, bro. When the Yair fight was announced, I was like, man, I don't even know why we're doing this. Actually, on the group chat, bro, the first thing he says after Ilya Topora beats Josh is that no, this guy can
no,
beat bro.
No, I didn't. Alex, oh. Alex, lying. Volk, I didn't say that.
DC, did you not
Volk,
say
what
that?
I said is, no, What'd what I say? Said, champ, what I said, champ, is I said, what his skill set, I like it because he might be able to compete with Volkanovski because you have looked so dominant, champ. Does that seem like something that I would say more than what RC just said? Be honest.
I know, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know who to believe on this one. But one thing was funny. I remember when we did the split screen. Remember when we were doing the split screen? And
Yes.
With me and Islam and you? I'll tell you one thing. I was like, I don't mind his name. I think he's pretty funny. But damn, you were laughing pretty hard at some of his terrible jokes.
That's hilarious, bro. You know why, bro? Dude, if you were as matter of fact, champ, it would be hilarious, too. Because you guys sound funny. It's like he doesn't...
Yeah, he makes me laugh, too, actually. To be honest, he's got a weird sort of serious, smirky sort of sense of humor. Hey, it's funny.
He has no adjectives. He has no adjectives. So it's like always just directed to the point. He has nothing to like soften the blow.
But you laugh like you're a high school girl in love with the team starting quarterback.
I laugh at
when
your
Islam
jokes.
Makes a joke.
I laugh at your jokes.
I'm actually funny.
No.
I have adjectives, adverbs.
Can we get through this guy's fight? Please.
How you doing, Victor?
Wait. One more thing
on that. I know RC's had my back all the way, even in the max fights, he had my back the whole way through them too, didn't he? They said.
So in the max fight, so here's the thing, right? Like you fight all the guys that I'm friends with.
Oh,
the
reality is, all right, bro. I did actually.
He did have you back, but once again, I said it was a fantastic fight. And then I did not, after you beat him the third time, I said it was the best performance I had ever seen in a trilogy fight by anyone, champion or challenger, the way that you had opened the gap on Max Holloway. So, and I do wonder aloud.
I'll say, I'm going to say, he's by far about Max. Well, that's a run.
I do wonder aloud how you can fight 25 minutes and not seem like you're fatigued at all. Like, there are many things that we both are like in it. We like in awe at you whenever you're done because of the way you compete. But with that being said, let's get on task. You are one of the guys, so it's easy to kind of get off track with you because you're fun. but July 8th, you're defending your championship once again against Yair Rodriguez. Yair Rodriguez looked like an absolute world beater in his last fight. What are the thoughts as you head into this fight with a guy that many not believe can truly compete against you and maybe take that championship?
Oh, man, like, he's a dangerous fighter, which is exciting to me. Like, I think people, I'm not looking for easy fights and easy challenges. You know, I want fights that are going to be difficult. I want fights that people see the danger. I see the danger just as much as the people that think he's got a chance as well, because he's a dangerous guy. He's very unpredictable. But again, we all know that I prepare and I do what I need to do. Obviously, again, he's very dangerous. He's got a lot of tools that come from everywhere. And you know what I mean? Like, he's very, very unpredictable. When you talk about unpredictable and someone being dangerous, he's right up there. I think he's one of the most dangerous guys I've probably ever faced. Would I say he's one of the hardest fights I've had? No, there's probably a lot of ways that I can win in this. Dangerous, I think he's definitely one of the most dangerous fighters I've ever faced. So that's how serious I'm taking Yair. Do I think I have what it takes to go out there and win? Yeah. Do I think I can still make it look easy? Maybe, but I'm prepared for the best version of Yair there is. And he's a dangerous man, so I'm ready.
Volk, you've been fighting in all of these championship fights, whether it's moving up and fighting at 155, the trilogy with Max Holloway. Every time you step into the octagon, it's a big time fight. After moving up to fight a guy like Islam and now facing someone as dangerous as Yair, and I'm assuming that's because of his bravery and the different things that he's willing to try as a striker, what are some of the adjustments you have to make to prepare for a fighter like himself?
Oh, man, you're never going to be able to prepare, like, you get someone. And obviously, you're going to get guys in to give you looks. It's going to be very hard for you to have exact certain combos to do with things like that. You know, it's not really going to work. If you're too focused and fixated on things like that, he's going to catch you doing all that. You just need to get the right guys to give you the right looks, unpredictable looks, just keep you on your toes. Obviously, there's certain things. Obviously, you don't want to give too much away either, right? But, you know, there's going to be a bit involved. The only thing is when someone's very dangerous and unpredictable like that, and he will put himself out of position to look for that finish, which is why he's so exciting. Obviously, there's opportunities for me as well to capitalize. So, it's good. And I always say that I like...
there we go.
How you doing?
How are you, Donald? Want to close that, Donald? Thank you.
That's the best. That's the best.
There you go. Where were we? What was I saying?
You're just talking about the unpredictability.
Try to fit. Yeah. Exactly right. So, the thing is... Yeah, it excites me. It really does, because that's what it's all about. And I always want to beat people sort of at their own game. Doesn't mean exactly, but I like to show people, like, you know, where I'm at more. You know, I'm pretty well-rounded. Obviously, he's very dangerous and dynamic on his feet. I want to show people that I can systematically break him down there and use that IQ, obviously durability, all the right stuff to go out there and make this very difficult for him and even beat him at his own game. So. Maybe you see Taekwondo Volk out there, you know? We'll see what happens.
See, Volk, that was the thing that I was going to ask you. When you say beat him at his own game, when I watch Yair Rodriguez, when he's having the most success, he's able to really utilize his kicking because he's so long and he starts to blast those kicks to the body. He blasts them up high. He's kicking you on your arms, even though you're blocking them, right? They're taking an effect on you. How do you manage that distance? Being that, hey, you're a shorter guy. I was a shorter guy my entire career, right? We have to take risks to get inside on guys like this. How do you manage that range with a guy like Yair Rodriguez that possesses those types of skills and that type of speed?
Yeah, well, again, he's a very good. He's good at all ranges as well. That's one thing that's really good about him. He can be very long, good on the outside. And then when you're trying to pressure him, like Emmett was trying to do, or even Frankie Edgar, what Frankie Edgar did a while back, you know, you couldn't do that to Yair now. Because, you know, if you try to pressure him, you're able to put the pressure, grab a hold of him, and, you know, Frankie did well. Emmett tried that. His exits were good. He was very good on the outside, very good as you're coming in, very good at all different ranges. And even when you're this close to the bloke, he's throwing spin and stuff, kicking you from there, and you name it. So it's you're right. It's definitely, it's not an easy thing to prepare for, but that's why it is exciting. But I was lucky enough to have guys like, I don't know, Cole Van Roon. He's 11-time world champion Taekwondo. He's about 6'5" or something. So he's a bigger version of Yair and Ringers. And I've got this guy just spinning tornado kicks, you name it, all crazy stuff. So it's just getting people like that to, you know, to throw things at you, and that crafty and that calculated with their legs. Just, again, it's not going to look exactly the same what Yair's going to do. Yair's going to do, but just keep me on my toes, keep me sharp, find the right positions to be in, the positions that make things harder for your opponent. You know, all the right little adjustments I'm going to be needing to do. And again, systematically breaking down, we think we've got a good thing going on, and I can't wait to go out there and show people how wide my skill set really does go.
Champ, yeah, I mean, you showed your skill set, I think, even more so in a loss to Islam Makhachev, who many people thought once he got you to the mat, that's where the fight would end. I mean, we were waking, throwing up thumbs up, laughing, having a great time during that. But Yair does present a different challenge. What is it like when you're in all of these big fights to continue to keep yourself enthused or to keep yourself motivated? What's making you continue to walk inside the gym every single day to stay at this high level you've been competing at?
Well, one good thing about me is, you know, you get like Yair Rodriguez, for example. This is going to be the biggest fight of his life. I guarantee you, he's turning everything up. He's getting to the gym. He's probably early. He's probably putting in more effort than he ever did. But that is just, that's my standard. I don't care if I'm fighting for the biggest fight of my life. I have a standard, and I'm disciplined, and I'm gonna stay at it through my whole career. So that's something that, and being able to do that, again, I guarantee you, I'm putting in just as much work, if not even more than him, even though this is the biggest fight of his life. It's still the biggest fight of my life. I treat every fight the same or all like it's the biggest fight of my life. And the consistency of me doing that really puts you on another level every single time. When you were sitting there and you've got a standard and you were trying to, you know, raise the bar every single time, you got no choice but to raise the bar. There's only one way to go, and that's evolving. That's moving up. And that is exactly what's happening. I'm getting more composed, more comfortable with what I do and how I go about things in the octagon. And you know, you're seeing that in the fights. You know, you shouldn't be that composed and that calm when you've got someone like Islam grabbing a hold of you. But it's just that's the type of preparation I put. You know, I put myself through hell. You know what I mean? I literally do. People talk about it. You hear people constantly mentioning be comfortable in uncomfortable positions. They got all these fancy quotes and all that, but not many actually go out there and actually do it. I do it time and time again, and it sucks, it hurts, it's painful. Every day of the year, you know, we get stuck in it, but, you know, I do this for a reason. You know, I want to look after my family forever. I want to leave a legacy behind, and you need to work hard for that. You know, and I believe we've, you know, this, you're talking about Islam. So I'm sort of changing it up here. And you're talking about, like, I believe there's not many people that can beat me in a decision or, like, you know, actually beat me in a fight. You know, maybe Islam. That's why it's such a fascinating fight. That's why we need to do it again, you know, because it's a very, very competitive fight. I see most of the other guys, obviously, it's a danger threat. Everyone's got a puncher's chance and all that. So the reason why I'm so excited for Yair, I think he has one of the most, the best chances, or when you talk about that danger thrill, I think he's right up there. So that's why, that's what's exciting for me. That's how I can stay excited for this fight. And you're mentioning guys coming through, like your Taporias and things like that. People are hyping them up. It excites me. I love it. But, I I'm going to turn up every single time.
It's not really hype. It's not really hype. It's not really people hyping him up. It's mostly DC, Bo. No, I'm just being honest with you, bro.
Hey, Bo.
I'm going to screenshot you the chat and send it to
shut
you,
up.
Bro.
Shut up. Crazy. Crazy. Boom, listen to me. Champ, listen to me. When I watched the kid last weekend, I remember going back and watching you for the first time live, like calling one of your fights for the first time live. I knew who you were. I knew you were a young guy on the way up. But then when I got to see you in person, and then I saw you evolve, and then I saw the complete, I feel like the most complete version of Alexander Volkanovski we've ever seen was whenever you beat Max Holloway that third time. And I left that octagon side going, man, this dude is like the evolution of mixed martial arts. And yeah. I watched the Poirier last weekend, and I get those same types of vibes. Now, that's not to say he can beat you, but he's skilled everywhere. He fought five rounds. He didn't see the fatigue all that much. He did a great job. So when you watch him, you watch the Spaniard with the high guard. When he throws the jab, it goes back to where it's supposed to be, just like Alexander Volkanovski. When he throws the right hand, it goes back where it's supposed to be. When the jab comes out, the right hand is on the chin. When you watch him, how impressive is this young man? And do you see this guy as the next guy if you get through Yair? Because you've beaten everybody else. Like, how many times do you want to go through the division?
Well, you're right. You're 100% right. That's why, you know, I'm hearing a lot of people mentioning other guys, you know, like fighting other guys, Ilya fighting other guys. I'm like, nah, don't do it. Just give me a guy. Give me a kid there. To be honest, again, I'm not going to say too much. Obviously, I think he's a good fighter. But the more I speak, the less I'm going to hype up the fight. So, you know, I think he's great. Wow. But
the champ is trying to say without saying that he sees something in the kid that just ain't as impressive as I see. My eyes are lying.
He's saying what I said. What did I say?
RC. RC, what happened?
I said it.
That's it.
We don't even want to get out of play.
Okay. What's happening is the champ is watching with eyes that is saying, I can whip this dude. Because I know as a fighter, you watch a guy and you can respect the skills, but if he's a potential opponent, you're like, I see this weakness, I see this weakness. That's what the champ said. When you're when you're Alexander Volkanovski, I mean, you can do that, I guess.
Yeah, look, man, again, I think it's, I think that's a great fight and that'll work well on some people, but it won't work well on others. But anyway, we'll move on from that. Again, I want guys. I told you, I want it to be active. I was at a stage where I was like, yeah, give me number one guys. We've sort of cleared it. We don't have it. So anybody's raving on about this guy, I've got you to worry about. I'll worry about that first because, again, I see him as a much bigger threat than Ilya. So I'll make sure I go out there, do my business. And then, if that's on the cards, again, I want to be active. So I do definitely want that rematch with Islam. I want that lightweight fight or a lightweight fight, whatever it is. I want to stay active. So, I heard of people mentioning Ilya fighting other guys, but I was like, oh, we'll see what the UFC says. Like, for me, it's like, if people think he's the next guy, bring it on.
Boom. Hey,
but I've got Yair to worry about.
Hey, thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate your time, champ. And champ, leave Islam alone, man. Just leave him alone, Doug. Like, y'all had y'all fight.
No,
it's all good.
We got
like, it was settled. We ain't got
to
run it back. It's all good, y'all. Hey, nobody lost nothing. Y'all went to, like, pound for pound 1 and 1A. Y'all tied. It's just tied. Let's just leave it at that.
I mean, like, to be honest, I don't see him losing, he's a great fighter. I don't see him losing in that lightweight division anytime soon. So you're going to want to see a competitive fight. So that's when you're going to call me up. So I'll be there waiting for that call.
He be disrespecting everybody at lightweight, too. He's so disrespectful.
I know. I just love for shame on everybody. I apologize. It's just, you know, I think, again, Islam, obviously, I think I've got his number. I think he is that great of a fighter. He is, really is, truly a good fighter. But I believe... again, that work ethic and all the stuff I have what it takes. I prove that I do, and next time I'll do better.
Champ, thank you again for joining us.
Sorry, champ.
A couple weeks. I know it's your boy, buddy.
A couple weeks, champ. Thank you.
Man, DC, I'm so glad that Volk was able to come on and truly, truly learn that when it comes to DC and RC, RC is always on his side.
Bro,
you know,
I can't believe you do that. I can't believe you do that every single time. And people believe you. Why do they believe you?
Look at my face. My face looks honest, DC.
Hey, bro, I think it's the Super Bowl ring. It's the Super Bowl ring. And then you move your set. So now you got a dang Super Bowl trophy behind you. is the Super Bowl ring and the Pro Bowl helmet. You're getting up there, Doug. Got a Pro Bowl helmet back there. You got a Super Bowl trophy. But the reality is, that is one of the greatest fighters in the world. And, dude, what a gentleman. He's like the easiest guy to talk to.
Man, he was an awesome guy. We could have done the entire show with Alexander Volkanovski. But what we do know is, on Friday, we will be at the UFC Expo in D.C., and RC will be live at 1 Pacific time. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to show up. All I know is that I am fired up, bro.
It's going to be fun, and Corporate Jake better be on his P's and Q's, because we might bring some fans up. Y'all might get to come up and sit with us, like talk on DC and RC. We're going to have a fully interactive show with the fans next week live from UFC X. RC, I've not been to an expo in many, many years, so I'm really excited about getting back out there with the fans and really kind of mingling with people, because you know people don't like me. I wonder if they're going to like me whenever they're in my presence.
Well, what's going to happen is people are going to love you. They're going to ask for your autograph. They're going to ask for pictures. But last year at the expo, I got to redo your commercial. So I had to hit them with that. I had to give them a little bit of this. And, you know, now there are these gifts or gifs or whatever you call them of me all around doing the DC. Crazy. Bro, this was a great show. I cannot wait until next week where we get an opportunity to see each other. It'll be 2 years for us, bro.
Yeah,
bro. 2 years from the start of the show. Who even knew they'd still let us make the show?
I literally thought I didn't know. I was like, man, how long is this show going to last? We 2 years in. We 2 years with many to go. Happy anniversary, Michael. My God.
Happy anniversary, brother.
Every week, catch DC and RC on Tuesdays. Everywhere you get your podcast on YouTube and now Midnight Eastern on ESPN2. But next week from Vegas, like RC just told you, we live at the UFCX. So let's go. RC, once again, my brother, a great show. I'm Daniel Cormier. My man, Ryan Clark. We're going to catch y'all on the next one. Peace.
See y'all.